Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's back with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a senior member of our brain trust. Now, Joan, all these senior...
It doesn't mean old. It just
all these senior,
you know,
designations.
Good experience.
Are you getting the discount yet, Joan?
Almost. Not quite. I'm not quite there yet.
I'll tell you, one time... Years ago, I'm talking about many years ago. I'm trying to think when this was. Probably, maybe more than 10 years ago. I was about to meet my son, who was a teenager, and my dad, and for breakfast one day.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm in my 40s now, you know, I didn't have that much gray hair either, and so we go to Shoney's for breakfast. And I show up first, and the lady says, and you'll be wanting the senior discount. And I look around like maybe my dad just walked up behind me or something,
oh.
You know. And I said, I don't think so.
Oh.
And she says,
heck, I would have taken it.
And then she said, okay, well, guess what? She did it. She gave me the senior discount, and it ticked me off. My wife and I were at the Atlanta Aquarium. Have you been to that thing yet?
No.
You got to go.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Folks, let me tell you something. When you go to Atlanta, you got to go to the aquarium, but go to the big tank last. Do not go to it first, because everything else will be anticlimactic after that. It's all good. It's all good. The beluga whales, the penguins, all that. But the big tank will take your breath away, so do it last. But anyway, we're standing in line, and see, I refuse to take the senior discount. I just, you know, it just doesn't fit my idiom. But I'm standing there, and the young lady, this little whippersnapper behind the thing, says, "And sir, the senior discount, with the senior discount, so on and so forth." Of course, she's not talking about my wife, but she's talking about me. And I said, "No." And my wife steps up. She says, "He'll take it."
Good for her. I like that.
So we'll see about that, though, in a year or two. Hey, Joan, what's Back to Obama. Now that we've determined that you're a twice senior person here, what's the senior? He's not the senior anything, is he? He's not senior senator from Illinois. He's not the senior presidential candidate. He's not
Correct.
Either one of those, is he?
Correct.
So he's the young whippersnapper, isn't he?
He sure is.
But the whippersnapper's going to Iraq soon, isn't he?
Right, and I think we used Obama as a segue into sort of laying out what the situation is in Iraq right now, because yes, he is planning a major trip to Iraq, and this lead this week just kind of gives you an idea of what he will find when he gets there.
Yeah, well, so what is he going to find?
Well, we say that things are improving and violence is less frequent than a year ago, and that's in large part due to the so-called surge that President Bush put into effect.
Yep, a year ago, more than a year ago.
More than a year ago, right.
Yep. Big debate last summer about whether it would work or not. Nobody knew.
Right.
But some people said, you know what, this is... It was, and the truth is, the surge was kind of the last-ditch effort by the Bush administration to get Iraq under control. And
right.
It was a big risk, and a lot of people said he shouldn't take it. And you know, and maybe they... And they very well could have been right. But as it turns out, the surge worked.
Well, and here's the best news from what I read in here, is that we say Iraqi forces are more able to do the job now, and that's really the whole thing right there.
Right, no question. Well, and we're starting to see, Joan, some semblance of the government getting their legs under them a little bit, aren't they, here and there?
Right, right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it couldn't come at a better time, because it sounds like the United States is going to have to devote more attention to Afghanistan.
Yep. And Pakistan.
And Pakistan.
That whole region.
The two kind of go hand in hand, really.
That whole region over there, actually.
Yes.
Because there are so many places where it's difficult to tell where Afghanistan starts and Pakistan stops.
And that's part of the problem. Yeah.
And so I agree with you on that completely. But Iraq is starting to – there's so many things, Joan, that are happening over there that are positive. The violence is down. The more Sunnis are taking up arms on behalf of the national cause to fight other Sunnis. And Shiites are taking up arms to fight, like the Sadrites and those guys in the south. And so there seems to be, Joan, a little bit of a concept of nationalism emerging over there.
Right.
And that's a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. Given the tribal warfare that has existed for thousands of years, that would be huge.
And, you know, this is the second time this week I've invoked this passage from Napoleon. Napoleon said, a soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon. And he was talking about an ideal.
Ah.
He was talking about nationalism. He was talking about a concept that you'll fight for because you think it's worthwhile. And if we can develop a bit of colored ribbon in Iraq, think about that. And Joan, you know, regardless of whether, you know, how anybody feels about whether we should have gone into Iraq, whether we should have overthrown it, regardless of any of that stuff, we got it now. We got what we got.
Right.
And if this thing could succeed, Joan, won't a thriving, sort of democratic, free enterprise, marketplace-based, not theocratic,
right,
regime in the middle of that region, won't that be a good thing for everybody?
Oh, no question about it, yeah.
So we got to take our... So I think, Joan, the heroes, obviously, the absolute heroes in all of this, there are two groups that I'd like to consider heroes. Obviously, number one is our men and women in uniform.
Right.
And the coalition forces who put themselves in harm's way for that bit of colored ribbon, Joan.
That's right.
And the other group are, I still can't get over, Joan, I still can't forget those people who voted and stuck their finger in the ink and walked out with their finger, purple fingers. That's some heroic stuff right there. Don't you
think?
Well,
yeah, and also many of the folks who have been taken hostage and who are still hostage in Iraq, too.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have paid a big price for this.
That's right.
And freedom, Joan, isn't free, is it?
Well, it's been a tough road.
Yeah, it sure has. We'll take a quick break, 20 after the hour. Going to be right back with a little more on this and moving on to other things, many other things, including the legislative forecast. Joan, we have a lot of X's here in the legislative forecast. It's troubling, and we're going to get Joan to help us out with that. Here's Stevie Nicks to take us out, 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. That I love. Barbara Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, stranger.
It doesn't get any better than this.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has
Welcome back.
Been?
I could listen to that all day. 23 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, probably triple senior, right, Joan?
No comment.
Wait a minute, Joan. You got to admit, isn't that a beautiful song?
Yeah, I
Barbara
suppose.
Lewis. Never mind. Joan is classic. It's not old. It's classic. See, that's like you and me, Joan. You're gonna
We're
listen,
classic.
You're going to. You're getting to the point where you're on your horizon is the ability to appreciate the concept of classic as opposed.
I don't want
to
discuss my horizon.
See, I'm not old, Joan. I'm classic.
you just keep thinking that.
That's the story I'm sticking to, Joan.
You just keep thinking that.
Joan, back to Iraq. I have no segue for that, by the way. Back to Iraq. One of the things that I am excited about is, as you know, for probably 5 years, 4 to 5 years, we have done regular interviews with somebody on the ground in Iraq at least once a quarter. We've tried to do it 5 or 6 times a year and have done it some years, but typically at least 4 times a year we get somebody on the ground, and June Reed has been with us the most. And one of the last times she joined us, something that completely gets missed by the mainstream media and it was never reported to my knowledge, they digitized the Baghdad stock market.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and this has been, Joan, the
I didn't even know there was a Baghdad stock market.
Exactly. You make my point. Thank you very much. Joan, but if you listen to the Small Business Advocate show, you'd know this. And the thing is that the stock market is now electronic, digitized in Baghdad, and so that's going on. They're pumping oil. They're about to make deals with various international oil companies to get the oil out of the ground. They're going to start sharing the oil money with their citizens. The economy, when that happens, I mean, you can imagine what that's going to do to the economy. And
sure.
When people and see that the Iraqis are not theocratic, for the most part. They're religious people, but they're also very entrepreneurial. And I think Iraq is poised to really become, you know, an important place over there. So, but here's the thing, Joan. Obama is going over there any day now, right?
They've probably kept the exact date a secret, I would think. They would
Barack
be smart
Obama.
To do
well,
that.
We have, our candidate listens to, they listen to my broadcast all the time, so we don't want to give anything away. So,
right.
They love my show over there, by the way. He's going to Iraq any day now, and so he's been the most vociferous opponent, or proponent, I should say, of getting us out immediately. And that's basically how he I think the most important reason why he won the nomination from Clinton was he showed her as somebody who voted for the war when he was against it from day one and always was against it from day one.
He was. That's right. He was.
So now that he goes over there and he sees this evidence in front of him, Joan, and as you know, he's kind of starting to tack to the center a little bit on this, isn't he?
Well, he's tacking to the center in quite a number of things. That's right.
Yeah. But on this one, so won't it be interesting to see when he comes back what he says? I actually believe that Barack Obama is a reasonable man. I know he's a liberal guy, but I think he's capable.
Well, now liberal and reasonable aren't necessarily mutually exclusive.
You know, I didn't mean for it to come out like that.
Well, it did.
Didn't.
It did,
that,
Jim.
I apologize for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I apologize.
All us liberals appreciate that.
I thought I'd see if I could get away with that, but I guess I can't. But anyway, I think he's a reasonable guy. It's going to be interesting to see what he says when he comes back from this.
Now, just as a reality check for your listeners, we are way off the Kiplinger letter right now. We are way into Blasting
Game land. No, because that's what you say here. What will Obama find over there?
Yeah.
That's your point.
Right, but we don't really talk about... we do say he's unlikely to waver from his view on withdrawal.
But he's already done that, Joan. He's already saying now, well, it could take up to 2 years to
No, but to... but he still believes in withdrawal.
Right. No, I agree. I think you're right about that. All I said, Joan, was it'll be interesting to see what he says when he comes back. I didn't project.
Okay.
I just
want to make sure your listeners understand what's going on here.
I didn't predict what he would say. I said it'll be interesting to see. Now, did I hear recently that all three of the major network anchors are going with him to Iraq?
It's in the morning to this morning's papers. That's what I didn't read the story because I was so surprised. I didn't really understand it. But yes,
the network sent three interns with McCain when he went the last time.
Oh, did they?
Basically, I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
But all three this is going to be interesting to watch, Joan.
Yeah, are they going to knock each other aside to try to do their stand-up? I mean, are they going to pull out each other's electric plugs so they can't broadcast?
Joan, this
is
unprecedented. This is unprecedented, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Isn't it a little embarrassing almost that all three of them are lining up to go over there with Obama?
I'm surprised that they would, but I guess that's where the news is. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, I'm going to make a prediction, John. I'm predicting that there will be news of the news coverage. The news coverage will become newsworthy.
That may be the news.
That's right. But I'm telling you, there are some unintended consequences that could come out of all this that may not be good. For it'll be interesting. I can't wait to see how that folks track this. This will be going on over the next few days. We come back, we're going to talk about just real quickly on the legislative forecast. We're going to talk about the economy, what Kiplinger says about the economy. We're going to talk about a bunch of other things we've got to talk about different from what we've been talking about. Stay with us.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And my websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll go there and use them to your advantage. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find all the things that we do here, and askjim.biz is where you get small business answers now. So check them out and listen to the show in various ways, all the way back to 99. The archives there are there. You can podcast, you can stream the interviews, you can read articles, you can check out our blog, you can check out our Brain Trust members, lots and lots of stuff there. And more to come, by the way. We've got new stuff coming. And, of course, askjim.biz is where you get small business answers now. Joan Pride, let's talk about the legislative forecast. I see a laundry list of topics here. Foreclosure relief, immigration, consumer, estate tax, climate change, oil market, gas tax, federal budget, RD tax credit. Everything I just mentioned, folks, three of them look like they might work. The rest of them have big, thick, bold X's beside them, Joan.
Meaning forget about it.
Forget about it.
Exactly.
Foreclosure relief it may work. Consumer safety may work. And R&D tax credit may work, but the rest of them, no.
The rest of them, no. And the R&D tax credit will only get a temporary extension because they won't have the courage to extend it permanently.
What's the consumer safety thing about? Is that about food?
I think it's strengthening the FDA.
Yeah, because, you know, we've got everything else covered. I mean, I saw a folding child's stroller the other day that actually had a sign on it that said, remove baby before folding. So I think the consumer safety part of that, I think that part of the consumer safety is okay.
You would think.
And the coffee cup that says warning,
might
coffee
be hot.
Coffee might be hot, and
right.
And things like that. You know, I think we're okay on that.
Okay.
So but estate tax compromise, that's history. Climate change mitigation.
But if I could say something about the estate tax compromise, they're going to have to do something next year, because we've told your listeners about this ad nauseum that the estate tax gets very weird after next year, and everyone knows it, and so I think something will happen next year.
Yeah. Well, see, in the bizarro world that is Congress, weird is kind of normal, Joan.
That's true.
Weird is actually light. That's actually bizarro light.
Right.
I mean, folks, you know, you could literally make a living reporting on Congress and converting it into a bizarro world comic book without having to rewrite anything. You know, in bizarro world, folks, if you remember, that's where everything is opposite. Of what we know about in our reality, in our dimension, everything is the opposite. Like the vacuum cleaner puts things out onto the floor instead of sucking them up. And so you could watch Congress and report on what they do. You wouldn't have to write any kind of satire or you wouldn't have to come up with anything. Just write what they do and put it in a comic book.
That's right. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
The lack of leadership that we have, Joan.
That's right.
In our government.
And that's a bipartisan statement. I know.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm so disgusted with the fact that they do nothing proactively.
Yep.
And they only do things reactively. And when they react, it's mostly knee jerk. And it's mostly
from the polls. I think most Americans feel the same way.
They do, but guess what, Joan? We love our own guy.
That's the weird thing about it. Or
we don't like our Congress, but we love our own guy.
Or gal.
Yeah, or gal. Exactly. Now I'm exactly right. And
yeah.
So I don't know what's going to go on. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about coattails in a minute. Joan, before we do that, let's move on and talk about the economy. What's going on there?
Well, strange things have been happening the last few days. I can give you a little rundown, if
okay,
you like.
Okay.
Well, the stock market's been going bananas, gyrating like crazy. We've had some very bad inflation numbers, saying inflation is way up. But then here's the weird thing. oil prices have been plummeting,
mm-hmm.
only for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why they're plummeting?
I do.
Because, well, the news apparently is that the market is worried about inflation and the economy. But guess what? Wasn't it the high oil prices that caused the inflation and
exactly.
the problems in the economy?
Joan, can you say bizarro world?
Well, that's what I'm confused about. So if oil prices
but
drop,
see,
that's
not why oil prices
economy.
Exactly, but that's not why oil prices dropped.
Right.
Oil prices dropped because of exactly what I've been saying that would cause them to drop, and that was if somebody would say, we're going to go drill for more oil.
Right.
And George Bush said that this week and threw the gauntlet down in front of our bizarro world Congress. And they guess what? The prices of oil have come down $7 or $8, folks. We need somebody else to make a speech like that. It's 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Chicago bringing us back. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Joan Pride. She's a senior member of our Brain Trust, and she's also senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, it's good, always good to have you here.
Well, thank you. Good to be here, as always.
And Joan, and folks, I like telling you about their website, kiplinger.com. It's a good one, KIPLINGER.com. You can find lots of good stuff there in their free section, but they also have a subscriber section where you can get a lot more stuff. And if you subscribe...
Well, we like stuff. Stuff
yeah,
is
we
good.
Like, exactly. And the meat and potatoes. And so we... Joan and I work off of the Kiplinger Letter, which is their flagship publication, which if you subscribe to either one of these publications, you get this all the stuff that's also on the website. But that's Kiplinger.com, and Kiplinger Letter is the weekly flagship, as I said. Then we got four biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter. I'm still pulling for the changing that name to Alternative Fuels. And then we got the magazine, Joan.
Yes, it's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
All right, so check that out. And the phone number, too, Joan. Give us that, please.
Oh, right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget the 30-day free trial. They do that for you. I worked hard to get you that discount. Hey, Joan, let's move over, continue to talk about the economy a little bit. Was there anything else that you wanted to say that we didn't finish last time? On the
no,
economy.
I feel better now.
You good now?
Better.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Detroit, you know, the three, if you remember a year before last, I predicted that one of the companies would go bankrupt in 06.
I think and we did too.
Yeah, I did in December. And guess what? Ford would have had they not hawked. They literally had to mortgage plants that had been owned free and clear for decades.
Right.
And they would have gone bankrupt. Now,
that's
this
right.
year in 08, they're all having more difficulty. Ford stock's trading at $4 or $5 a share. GM's trading at 52-year lows. But you guys say those two guys are going to be all right. It's Chrysler that's got the problem.
Yeah, which is kind of ironic since we've focused so much on GM and Ford being in trouble.
Right, right. But they're all kind of in trouble. I think the whole automobile industry. But you know, folks, if you're investing, maybe that's a good place to look right now. But it's very interesting to see how we have two car industries in this country, Joan. We have the old car industry, the Detroit, basically, the big three. Then you've got all the others who are not in that part of the world, and they're doing okay. Not great now, but
not
okay.
Not as good as they used to be doing, but they are doing okay.
But they don't have the legacy costs here in the United States that the GM and
that's
Ford
right.
have.
That's right.
The problem. That's the reason why GM and Ford can't be competitive and can't be more profitable and more successful is they've got these 20th century legacy costs, these contingent liabilities that aren't so contingent. They're actually very specific liabilities. What is it for? GM has $1,600 in every car that they sell. $1,600 of that money they take in goes to retiree health care.
Wow, and just retiree health care, not
just
any other
retiree.
Benefit, just that one benefit.
And just for retirees, not for...
That's huge, for retirees, that's a great point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joan, let's move down and talk about human resources. This is good news for, I'm so happy to see that they're doing something about the reservists, Joan. So many reservists and National Guard have answered the call of their country. They've left their jobs. They've closed. They've left their businesses, their small businesses, and gone and done their duty for their country. And you guys reported on some of the things that the government is doing for them right now.
Well, and these things sound small, but I think they're really helpful financially. For example, you know, with a flexible spending account, if you don't use it up by the end of the year, you lose it. Well, what if you go on active duty and that's why you can't use up your FSA? Why should you have to lose that money because you're on active duty? So they're letting them keep that money. But what they're also doing, which is interesting, if you need money from your pension plan or from your retirement plan, you know, maybe your family needs to pay some bills while you're away, you can take that money out without penalty. Although I do think you would have to pay tax on it, but you wouldn't have to pay the penalty for an early withdrawal, you know, a pre-retirement withdrawal. Mm-hmm.
Joan, our men and women in the reserves and in the National Guard who've gone on active duty, they're those who work for small business owners, those who are small business owners, this has been particularly hard on them. And I'm so proud of their devotion to their country, but also I hurt for them for what this has done to the businesses, and I want to thank all those small business owners who have done everything they can do to support their employees who've gone off. I know this has been hard on you, but I want you to know that I'm proud of you, and I certainly wish you all the best, and we'll do whatever I can to help you. Joan, let's move over and talk about travel. You need to book your travel early this year, don't you?
Yeah, get organized. There are going to be fewer flights and more delays and more people traveling, so it's going to be nasty.
See, Joan, they're canceling so many flights. I even wonder, and you guys kind of point this out, I think, if I went ahead and booked a flight, like we've got a lot of travel scheduled all the rest of the year, if we went ahead and booked those flights and thought we could count on them, they may not be there when we get ready to go.
Well, that's kind of a catch-22. We're saying book early, but if you book early, you might not even get on the flight. So you have to check back. Don't wait for the airline to tell you the flight was canceled. I would keep checking back on a regular basis to make sure the flight's still a go.
I think that's a good idea, Joan, and it's extra work for us. But see, for example, what if you booked on the flight that you wanted and you picked wrong and they canceled your flight but didn't cancel the one that you kind of liked, but it was your plan B? They didn't cancel that one, but by the time you found out yours was canceled, the other one's full.
You're giving me a headache.
And you can't get there. And when you got deadlines, you know, people, you know, were expecting you to be there certain days, like I have, that's a nightmare. Joan, can I borrow your jet?
Sure.
I'm probably going to need your jet the rest of the year. Stand by, 10-tail Jim Blessing Game. Joan Pride and I will be right back. Back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasting Game, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, let's move down and talk about the election. When it comes to coattails as the lead of that section, Joan, if you remember, I predicted back in March, I guess it was, I started predicting that if McCain were the nominee, he would not have long coattails. And Joan, tell the audience what coattails means.
Well, it means that your guy, your congressman, or the congressman who's running in a particular district might benefit from a popular candidate at the higher level, in this case, president.
So if all things being equal in your district, if one or the other parties is sort of swept in on a landslide, or like kind of like Reagan, that kind of thing in the 80s, in 1980, then all things being equal in your district, the person in that party would be more likely to be elected just because of the coattails, along the influence of that top tier candidate. So if
you're wondering why so many superdelegates left Hillary to go over to Obama, and you wondered, you know, why her extreme pressure on them put on them didn't work, I think this is a large part of it. A lot of those superdelegates are running in tight races, and they knew Obama would have coattails that she would not have. And they remembered that she would still be a polarizing figure in the general election.
Mm-hmm. And so, folks, what Joan's telling you is these superdelegates, most of them are being elected, you know, to some national level.
Right.
And Joan, and I said that McCain would not have, even if he won, if McCain won the nomination, the election, he would not have long coattails for the Republicans. But if Obama won the election for the Democrats, would have, he would have long coattails.
That's what people seem to believe. That's right.
Yeah. And because I think his election, if he is elected, it'll be more about an idea than it will be about him. And if McCain gets elected, it'll be more about McCain than an idea. And I think ideas are easier. You know, the idea concept will have more coattail opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And Joni, it's still kind of a toss-up. I mean, you know, some of the polls that are coming in are a little surprising to me that Obama doesn't have more of a lead if he has a lead.
Lot of it is his lack of foreign policy experience.
So you think that's going to be a big deal then?
I think it might be, although, you know, the economy is so important to people, it's hard to know, you know, which is going to come down as the deciding factor in the end.
If Iraq is settled down, Joan, this is why I'm saying that this trip he's about to make is going to be such a big deal to the campaign.
Well, maybe that's why all those anchors are going with him.
Exactly.
They don't want to miss anything.
They know something we don't know, right, Joan?
Yeah. I guess they don't have electronics. They have to be there in person.
Exactly. Yeah. This is going to be a sideshow, I think. I think they could wind up being the news and overshadowing him.
I think they could.
But anyway, it'll be fun. Joan, let's move over and talk about energy. Coal and natural gas prices are rising, but you guys report that solar power is getting cheaper.
The sun is getting cheaper. The cost of a solar-powered cell in California in the Southwest is expected to fall 25% in 3 years. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Joel Barker, the resident futurist on our show, the guy who talks about paradigms, folks, many of you have heard of him. If you listen to my show, you know he's on about once a month or so. He was talking to us recently, Joan, about some new solar technology that literally would be put into your shingles, that would be made into your shingles, would be painted on solar receptors, that would be painted on, that so many new things are coming out now that allow a product to become a solar receptor, so that your house doesn't have to look like an experimental site or something,
right?
You know, like some kind of a UFO kind of thing, you know. And so I think Boone Pickens is onto something, Joan, with his plan. Have you seen his plan?
The wind plan, right?
The wind. Well, it's not just wind. He talks about it a lot. It's solar too.
Oh, okay.
I think he's interested in solar too. I mean, I think he's an energy guy.
Ah.
So it's going to be interesting. We're trying to get him on the show. I want to interview him about this. We're working on that.
That'd be really interesting.
So, but anyway, these are some breakthrough things, Joan, in solar. I think the next 10 years are going to be exciting times for energy.
Oh, I agree.
And it's not going to be about petroleum either, Joan. Not about carbon.
I think it can't be. It cannot be.
No, but Joan, we're still an oil-based economy. We still have to provide this.
We have
product.
A long way to go.
A long way. Hey, Joan, I hope you'll be here with me for that trip.
That sounds great.
Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, the senior editor of the Kiplinger Editors. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.